Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. This got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Well, the party they gonna have out in the St. John's Swamp. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Doing wonderful, Mr. Marco. I know you're listening down from up there in heaven to us on the Bigfoot Live radio show. Folks, welcome back to the next week, Wednesday night. Bigfoot Live Radio Show. We're going to talk about giants, UFOs, Bigfoot, the hoaxers, the crazy nuts, the people out there trying to screw you over on the internet. That's what we do. We talk Bigfoot every Wednesday night. What's going on, my Mr. Co-host Rocky? How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great.
Yeah.
Got a big rainstorm going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
So if my phone messes up, you'll understand.
Well, just stand in the corner right there by your gun cabinet. You should be fine. Hook it up to an antenna.
I'll use my gun safe as an antenna.
I don't know about you, but this past week, you know, I've probably gotten 12 phone calls about Bigfoot sightings. Three of them were the idiots from up in Wisconsin and what's the other place up there? Wyoming. Those idiots. Hey, it's Ned. You know Ned from Wisconsin? You guys all remember him. He got through on one of the lines one night. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
They, they change their names up, but the area code's always the same, you know? I don't know. It's changed a lot in the last few years. I think the internet kind of really screwed it up, too, and made it kind of worse. But, you know, that's because we know there's some credible sightings out there, and there's actually things happening. We were expecting Margo from North Dakota, but we do know her phone's kind of get messed up being up there on that Indian reservation. Well, that's okay. You know, I want to do, you know something? I almost forgot my shout-outs to the countries across the planet that listen to us. We want to shout out and say thank you to the folks in New Zealand, Australia, the Philippines, Vietnam, India, Norway and Sweden, Finland and Denmark, the Czech Republic, UK, France, Spain, Portugal, Peru, Mexico, Canada, Alaska, the US of A, Italy, and we picked up Germany last week, and this week we picked up Egypt. We got people from Egypt. I wonder if there's a Bigfoot in Egypt, Rocky. That's crazy.
I don't know. That's a lot of folks.
That is, but we want to say thank you for all you folks from across the whole planet listening to our show. You know, I think we're coming up close to 15 years, Rocky. 15 years. We're at show 592.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look at the calendar and see. I think we might have already hit the 15 years. It doesn't matter. We've got a great show for you tonight. We had some guests, but we've got an anchor guest tonight, folks, that, you know, I've spoke to a few times. I use as a go-to guy. I know you guys have, well, we won't get there first. Then we're going to tease you with a little lick of the lollipop. What we're going to do is we're going to reach out to Alabama first, where a good old Chuck Creel, who actually, I guess the guest couldn't call in, but he's going to call in and give us some information on it. Chuck, how are you this evening, brother? From another mother?
Well,
you big, fat, hairy, Bigfoot man, loving person, you?
I'm doing fine, brother. How are you doing?
Hey,
I'm
Chuck.
Doing well, brother.
Before we ever get started, I just want to do something probably nobody's ever done before. I want to, which I think is an important thing to do. I want to thank you for your service to this country, young man.
Oh, well, then I have to give it right back to you, sir, because I know you served and retired also.
Yes, sir.
Right back
I sure
to you,
did.
Brother.
Yeah,
right
that lasted
you,
about
brother.
Two. That lasted about 2 years, and then I had to go back to work. I got bored. You know?
Too much of
how
a business,
you been doing, man? How's the family doing? Everybody doing all right?
Everyone's doing wonderful. You know, I mean, God, it's been, I'm trying to think, we were still in Kentucky when you and the family stopped by, weren't you? Wow, God, that must have been 9 years, 8 years, seven, 6 years ago.
It's been a while, but I, you know, just, everybody's just kind of got out of the game and all, and then, you know, I wasn't even looking for Bigfoot or anything. You know what I'm saying? And then this guy that went to work for me this past week got on there, and he hired on and said that. He seen my hat, my Bigfoot hat, searching for Bigfoot hat.
Yep.
He said Bigfoot, and then we got to talking. I could go in and in on it, but I won't. But
sure.
He said. Man, he said, right down here on Pea River, he said, me and my dad and four other people seen all these huge foot tracks. And they was like at that time, you know, TJ, before I ever met you or your dad, they didn't know what to do. They didn't know to cast. Mm. They didn't know to cover it, to cast it or anything like that. But they did get pictures, and I'm trying to get those pictures up.
Well
he
to
had
them.
To come up. Sir?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the man is a real good man, and he said he's going to call in, but he's having he's real busy. I'll put it that way, you know.
Okay.
But he had a dog he wanted to bring over and see if I liked that dog and all, and he happened to, you know, come in the house in here. You know, and I said, that's that footprint that me and T.J. Biscardi casted out in Paris, Texas.
Okay.
He took one look at that cast. I still got it hanging on the wall. His eyes lit up. They got big. That's what we see down here on the Pea River. He said, not just me, but me and five other people. He said, that's it. And at that time, I asked him, I said, why didn't you cast it? He said, what's that? You see what I'm saying?
Sure, sure.
You know, yeah, so I said, well, look, bud, you know, get your dad. He's trying to get his dad and everybody up on that and everything. He's trying to get me permission to go on the property and look around and all
that
stuff.
Where do they live at, Chuck? Do they live in Macon, Georgia?
Macon, Georgia?
Yeah.
No, he lives here in Enterprise, Alabama.
Just want to make sure because I'm having some numbers from Macon, Georgia call in, so just checking. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I understand. No, but his name is John. He's from here, you know, from Alabama.
Okay.
But
okay.
He said he couldn't call in tonight. He wants to now, you know.
Sure.
But
we'll pick
anyway,
him up
that's
on another
all.
Night. Now, you said the Pea River? We were on the Pea River, weren't we?
I'm sorry, Mr. TJ, what'd you say?
The Pea River. Didn't we go searching on the Pea River?
Heck yeah, we did. We went down with, remember old Dr. Mike when he was living?
Oh, yeah.
We went
okay.
down there on that that pontoon boat and everything, but this is a
yep.
lot closer
okay.
to my house.
Okay. Okay.
You know, this is a lot closer to my house, and he's trying to give me permission to go down there and look. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that say things, you know, that you got to take with a grain of salt, you know, but
right.
until you go to look and actually investigate it. But, boy, he's adamant about what they seen, and nobody knew what to do about it. You know, they
well,
said they heard all kind of just howls and just all kind of stuff, so. All I can do, TJ, is on your behalf is just go look.
Hey, we'd love to have you do that for us, brother. Absolutely. You know what I'm talking
yeah.
about, Rocky?
Yeah.
Say what now?
I was saying, does Rocky know what I'm talking about? Ready to go down there, Rocky?
Yeah, I do. How you
okay.
doing, Chuck?
I'm doing fine, sir. How are you doing?
Oh, if I was doing any better, I'd have to be triplets.
Ain't seen you in a while, young man.
I hate
I know it.
Triplet.
You miss me?
Well, I would too. I would
no, I hear
too.
You, man. I know if I was someone else and I hadn't seen me in a while, I'd miss me too. Figure that one out.
I'll,
yeah.
I'm telling you. All right, Chuck. We appreciate you calling in, brother, and you know the deal. Just sit
yeah.
there and listen if you like.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a wonderful evening, and God bless you, and God bless your family and everybody that's listening.
Outstanding.
Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you, Chuck.
Yeah.
Now, folks, how do I introduce this gentleman? I'm telling you. Well, let me just give you a little heads up here. So everybody knows about the Rick Dyer Bigfoot hoax we got pulled into back in 2008. And that day, I promised myself and my father that I was never going to let this ever happen again. Okay. And I, you know, I was new to the business. Okay. I didn't know much about it. I was just still trying to figure it out and try to understand why these idiots would do this because I was so pissed off and angry. Well, everybody's heard the story on here a million times, but I was fortunate enough to find a group on Facebook probably, I want to say 5 years ago, might be longer, might be less, okay? And when I saw the name, I said to myself, I wonder if it's like any of those other groups where everybody's posting all these big, giant, here's a red circle, there's a Bigfoot over here. You got 15 red circles on a big green photo, right? Drives you nuts, doesn't it? Drives me nuts, right? And so I watched it. I read their posts for, you know, weeks probably before I even thought about even hitting back up because I was tired of all the bullshit out there, really, frankly. And Rocky knows what I'm talking about. And I started thinking to myself, okay, I might be able to – I saw that people would post stuff up there. And these guys – the website was called – or the Facebook group is called Coalition for Critical Thinking on Bigfoot. And people would put up these pictures. Check out my Bigfoot. And these gentlemen would do their due diligence. I'm sure they're computer geniuses, and they've got archives of Bigfoot photos that have been recirculated, and they would pop them up and go, oh, what do you mean you just saw him yesterday? Here's one from 2009. Here's one from 2007. Oh, the one that was taken in Vietnam that you're saying was in Sweden was in 2013. Busted, right? And I said, well, great. I love this. And I want to say the very first time that I was getting ready to drive somewhere and they saved me money, okay, it was a Bigfoot that was supposedly up in Dutton, Arkansas, and it had the big, looked like a gorilla with a gray back and a Bigfoot bottom, and was running down the path. Remember that one, Rocky?
Yes, I was the one that sent it to you after. Well, they sent he sent it to me, then I sent it to you.
Right. Well, I got the great idea on sending it over to them and asking them if this was legit. And I don't think I waited 15 or 20 minutes before I got a response. This is where it was, first time, second time. These guys are stroking you. And I think I told you that, and you called the guy back, and you told him, oh, why are you stroking me or something? Whatever. Okay, folks. But that was the very first time, okay? And these folks have saved me and our company and real researchers lots of times because they will not deal with bullshit, okay? So without further ado, I want to introduce to you the commander of the Coalition of Critical Thinking. He's also the purveyor of Bigfoot books in Happy Camp, California, and he's the co-founder of the Bluff Creek Project, Stephen Struford. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Our pleasure, Stephen. Our pleasure, man. You know, I hope the intro did you right.
Well, it's fine with me. You know, I got some free DVDs out of that deal, I think, so it's a mutually beneficial one.
Absolutely. That's right.
Hey, we'll save you money every day pretty much on that Facebook page because we've seen it all. We've heard it all. We've seen every red circle and blob squatch you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
There's really not much that gets past us. And so far, I like to think we haven't been wrong about a single one of the things that we've said on there.
I agree. Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, otherwise, you know, I think you're the only, I mean, really only Facebook group out there that does what you guys do, truthfully, honestly. Okay? And in my opinion on Facebook is, wow, it's crazy. I'm glad you're the Facebook police for Bigfoot.
I'm glad you remember. You know, you've contributed good things yourself, but, you know, we like to think of ourselves as an open-minded, skeptical group. So, usually in the Bigfoot world, you'll find there's a ton of believer groups, the ones that say believers only in the title even, you know. And then there's a lot of skeptical groups that just say Bigfoot's not real, you know. But what we do is we ask the question, you know, could Bigfoot be real? Well, let's find out, you know. What's going on with all these people saying they see Bigfoot all across the country or, well, actually around the world, you know? There's constantly sightings, so we don't just dismiss them out of hand. But of course, almost every day there's a new hoaxer out there with some really bad, you know, fake video or a picture of stump with a red circle around it.
Yeah, no, I don't understand. I mean, I tried to understand why people would, and I tell them, I say, look. You took this picture, you were standing there looking through your camera, you were 5 feet from the bushes, but you didn't see the 12 Bigfoots until you got home and developed it or looked at it on your phone. I don't understand that. Please try to explain that to me. And here's where they all stop. Well, you just have to be able to see. You have to understand. These creatures, and I'm like, I'm in the woods more than you, I'm sure. Okay? And if there's a deer standing in front of me, I see the deer when I'm taking a picture, okay? If there's an owl in the tree and I take the picture, I probably see the owl in the tree right then too. And especially when you tell me Bigfoot's 16 feet tall, the size of King Kong, okay? I saw him then, too, okay?
Yeah, but, it's 25 feet tall, and it's building gigantic structures out of trees in the woods. And you don't see any sign of its tracks, no hair, nothing left behind, no bulldozer tracks. I mean, to build some of these tree structures that people claim Bigfoot made, you'd have to be really King Kong. I mean, to lift a big fallen tree like that and prop it up against other trees, you'd need cranes and earth-moving machines and things like that.
Well, you know, with me, I see a lot of these structures, and I'm trying to figure out what they're for, because they're not protecting. They couldn't protect you from anything. I mean, they don't even provide good shade. But
Maybe a lot of these structures are just because trees fall over naturally, and there are things like that. Wind and gravity and, you know, mortality, just like any other living thing, it's going to die. And trees naturally lose their branches, you know, the leaves and the branches will fall off when the tree doesn't really need them anymore. They die off, and, you know, it's not that unusual for something to fall and make an X in the woods. You know, it's pretty much the easiest letter in the alphabet to make with two sticks.
I never thought about that.
Thank
like
you.
That. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, if Bigfoot does it, let's see the evidence for it.
I saw a picture the other day. I don't know what they saw. They thought that they saw a Bigfoot. But I looked in the comments, and down below it said, it can't be a Bigfoot because it doesn't have a red circle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
you know, the good one is when they get a picture of Bigfoot and it's totally clear, and then people will say, it can't be real. It's too good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does. It's true.
Yeah, Bigfoot's supposed to be blurry, right?
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. You know, so I got to ask you this, Stephen. What got you into Bigfoot?
The usual thing, you know, back when I was a little kid, my mother took us to a really frightening triple feature at the drive-in. It was probably 1974 or maybe 73 even. And we saw,
okay.
I'm a Californian now, so, you know, it's Bluff Creek out here. We had the bugs, giant bugs, and some kind of horrible monster reptile thing. And then on came the Bigfoot feature, which was, I think now that I know more about the topic, I think it was the original documentary that was put together by Roger Patterson and his brother-in-law, Al Diatley, which is pretty rare and no one really sees it today. It's just not on DVD, and it's being held by private collectors. But I think I saw it in that theater, and that got me really intrigued. You know, what is that? It looks really real. And I kind of wonder now, how could a place like that still exist in today's world? But, you know, I was living in Southern California then, and pretty much my whole life has been a slow trip northward. And I found myself living in Humboldt County, which is one of the two counties where that famous Bluff Creek Bigfoot events occurred. So here I was living in the county, and I'd see the Bigfoot statue that was carved back in 1967. Scratch my chin and say, well, I remember that. Before I knew it, I was living out here in Willow Creek, which is considered the Bigfoot capital of the world, or Mecca for some pilgrims anyway. So here I am. And I got to thinking, you know, talking to local people, what's to this Bigfoot thing? You know, is it a joke, a hoax? Is it real? I mean, has anyone around here really seen this thing? And sure enough, there are a lot of people who will tell you the stories of their supposed encounters, you know.
Right.
A lot of them are pretty convincing, you know.
Sure.
And from that, I got involved in going up to Bluff Creek, which is just 30 miles north of here, where I have my bookstore. And, so we went off trying to find the Bigfoot film site and realized that nobody in the public anyway knew where it was. So we spent like 3 years searching up there through the creek, trying to find some old trees or stumps or log jams or whatever we could. And eventually we did find it, got us kind of a lot of attention in the Bigfoot world. And yeah, so since then we've run this project up there. It's part history and part wildlife observation. So we have trail cameras actually on the film site right now. Even in the winter or fall now, like it's closed now. So no one can go in there. Whatever wildlife is there is just happy as can be with no humans roaming around. And we hope to think, well, it's dangerous for one. You can't really get in there too easily. Once the snow falls, it blocks all the roads because the roads go over the high ridges and they don't bother to plow it in there. They just let it be. There's other environmental reasons for that. Some botanical disease that's killing off some of the nicer trees in the watershed. So we like it to be closed actually, because it gives those trees a chance to survive. And the wildlife that we are observing, we're not trying to hunt or kill Bigfoot. We're just hoping Bigfoot might come along with all these other animals that we're getting, which you can see on our YouTube page. Just look up Bluff Creek Project, all one word, and Bluff Creek Project, and you'll see a whole bunch of really cool animals, including mating mountain lions.
Wasn't there something recently you just guys found out there that popped up that wasn't supposed to be out there? I remember seeing something.
Well,
like a fox or a badger.
It's a variety of marten. You know, it's like a little wild weasel. But
what we have
out here is a very rare subspecies called the Humboldt Martin. And they were thought to be extinct from, you know, trappers and everything, logging. But I can't remember what year it was. Not too long ago, anyway, one was actually observed on a trail camera, which was put up because they found tracks in the Bluff Creek area. They said that's a marten track, and they put up cameras, and sure enough, they're still here. And since then, our group has been observing them since 2012, and other local groups are working, including the, you know, wildlife and forestry people, to protect them, because there's only estimated to be about 100 of them left in California, and a few similar numbers in southern Oregon. We're right on the border here, so it's pretty much one habitat.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, wow. if we can turn Bigfoot research into a valid form of citizen science and observe real-life things, that's of great value to the world, not just those who want to, like, prove that Bigfoot exists, you know.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I agree. You know, I mean, conservation, right? You have to have it, you know, otherwise we'll eat this planet up. If we were allowed to, we'd blow this planet up.
Yeah. But, you know, you can do something that most people would think is totally a waste of time and silly. If you ask the average person, they would laugh at finding Bigfoot on TV or whatever. But I think you can take a subject like that and learn how to think critically about it, learn how to be skeptical and curious at the same time, and look at what you can discover in the real world without a bunch of fantasy magic and monsters going on, you know. we discovered that the Humboldt Martin is living right there on and around the Patterson film site. So it's a wild area.
About,
maybe Bigfoot still goes there.
Yeah, we talk about, you know, how Bigfoot, we talk about a lot on the show, how Bigfoot helps a lot of things because it gets us folks that love to go out in the woods and we see animals that we haven't seen before. I mean, heck, I didn't think there were still bears up in Arkansas, but, you know, first time Rocky took me up there into the Ozarks, you know, big old brown bear over here, all these pigs over there, you know, I mean, just it gives you a different perspective, you know. Bigfoot has helped a lot of things, actually, like you said, with people getting out there and making other discoveries, you know. It's a wonderful hobby, I guess, for some people, and jobs for others.
Well,
you know,
I'm not a scientist.
You act like
What's
one. You sound like one. You've got a mind like one.
No,
I'll tell you that much.
I've learned a heck of a lot about science by trying to explore the Bigfoot topic, and there are a lot of very useful bits of knowledge that you can apply to the question of whether Bigfoot exists, including, you know, logical thinking, which is something that most people don't ever learn in school. You know, they'll go with what they believe and how they think and feel off the top of their heads, but will they really subject those beliefs to a scrutiny that a scientist would? You know, to pass something by science, you need peer review and you need to make sure that it's valid. And by being skeptical, that's how science works. You know, that's how we know we can send a ship to Mars and have it arrive there, hopefully safely, and take pictures and instead of just crashing off, you know, in the middle of nowhere. I think it's good. It's a good topic.
It is, you know, and we have to segue to something because something you said a little while ago about finding Bigfoot, you know, I don't know if anybody else has noticed, but right now there's supposed to be a new series coming out. I don't know if I saw it on your site or some other Bigfoot site, but it's called Expedition Bigfoot. And I had to take the picture and blow the team up. And when I saw who was on it, I went, this is going to be another Finding Bigfoot or not Finding Bigfoot, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. So just so you guys know what I'm talking about, I think his last name is Acorn or something like that. He's the guy that's toting around Bob Gimlin on his arm to all these conventions, making money. Hey, look, more power to him. You know, Bob's got his thing. He's at his age. He's having fun. He's getting the attention. More power to him. We all know how I feel about the Gimlin film, so we don't have to worry about that. Most people on this line. Okay, but one thing it did do, okay, Patterson did do, he created this community of us now, and we're all here, and we do, like Steven said, we're doing some good things. We do a lot of weird bad things because the kooks are coming out of the woods when Bigfoot's flying around in spaceships and walking through ethereal beams of light coming in and speaking to us through their mind. That's just way too far for me, and I know it's too far for Rocky and kind of the way we talked about on Saturday. Probably a little too far for you too, Steven.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I wish the best of the people on the show. I'm always really critical and skeptical of any form of entertainment media. Like radio is a lot better because, you know, there's a lot less you can fake on radio. But these shows, they have to entertain. So, you know, they have to have macho survival dude and, you know, nerdy science geek and then probably a bunch of camouflage and your
always pretty
your,
girl.
Your
pretty girl.
Your
toking
pretty, pretty girl. Although, you know, she is actually the heart of the show. She's Rhea Mayer. Who has a real PhD in primatology and anthropology. So she's a smart lady and not just a cheerleader, although she did used to be an NFL cheerleader.
Oh, did she?
And then you have Yeah, she did actually. That didn't stop her from getting a PhD. She's a real science practitioner. So we're hoping for the best. Travel Channel's not really known for science, though, you know.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. It's entertainment, okay? It's TV. If it wasn't entertaining, nobody would advertise, nobody would watch. And you know something? More power to them if they're making a buck doing what they're passionate about, okay? But, you know, it's just the way it is. But sometimes people look at it and go, oh, my God. I don't understand why people sometimes go, this has to all be real. I go, because, well, there's scripts. They have to tell them to say things to make it interesting sometimes. Okay? Just the way it is, you know? Yeah, sorry. Let's get back off of that.
Yeah.
We'll go back into the
business. At least they don't have the magical practitioners talking about Bigfoot coming from another planet and coming through the portal as a ball of light and speaking in telepathy to the Bigfoot researcher out in the woods. You know, hopefully they'll avoid that. Even though I see this one fellow on the show, Ronnie LeBlanc, who's an author and Bigfoot researcher. He's also a paranormal investigator, you know, so he's talking about orbs and aliens and my own personal views. You know, we have one mystery, and I think that's enough. There's no reason to combine them all together. You know, like that picture of the Loch Ness Monster with Bigfoot and a unicorn and aliens riding on its back. You know, chemtrails up in the sky and all that stuff. It's just too much, you know. There's no evidence to prove these things. So if you want to believe in one or two, that's okay. But, you know, the world is not that crazy, really. Unless you're a quantum particle, then maybe it is. But for us,
me,
I mean,
me and Tommy have talked to the guy that explained to us that Bigfoot was actually just a farmer that had been exposed to chemtrails and genetically modified foods and had morphed into a Bigfoot.
Yeah, well, I guess if you don't eat organic vegetables, you're going to eventually turn into one. That's like the ultimate fate of our evolution.
Yep.
He was dead serious when he told us that, though.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't mind people believing some pretty wild stuff, but there's a time to hang it up and, you know, talk sense.
As Steve would say, talk logic.
Yeah, I mean, if they could do all of the stuff that I've seen on the internet, they wouldn't be living in the woods. We would be working for them.
I mean, they have superpowers. If you talk to some of these people, they're smarter than us, stronger than us. They can turn invisible. They can go into another dimension. They can travel through space.
I had a man explain all of that to me about all the stuff that they could do. But then when I asked him, why can't they build a Chrysler? Well, that stumped him, and he wouldn't talk to me anymore. He still hasn't talked to me since I said that.
If they're so advanced, why are they living out in the freezing cold and shitting in the woods, you know, and smelling really badly? Everyone says they stink to high heaven or hell, you know. Why can't they solve these simple problems like our species did millions of years ago?
Good point.
Well, our descendants did. Our ancestors did, anyways.
You know, like
I mean, people will say Bigfoot likes to live that way.
I never thought of it like that, man. People say that they'll come out and their horses' manes are all braided. Now thinking about it, well, why don't they get sheep and shear them and braid together themselves in shirts, right? Oh, my God.
Make themselves
sweaters. There you go. Folks, we're not trying to get y'all to think that we don't believe in Bigfoot. We do. But there's a lot of stuff out there where, like, well, Stephen says, you got to add a little logic to your thinking here, okay? And that's all we're saying. You know, we have a lot of fun on the show. We enjoy, and it's just the way it is, you know? And we understand.
Well,
that,
you know,
you're going to.
If we didn't think that there was the possibility of something like that being out there, I wouldn't put so many miles on my truck out there looking. Me and
right.
Tommy have put on thousands and thousands of miles on my old truck. And, well, that's because it's not because we're part of the joke.
well put.
Well, it's certainly an adventure. It's a great reason to get outside and travel. I mean, look at my friends, Cliff and Bobo. They've been all around the world seeking a Bigfoot. And, you know, they never found one, but they got paid pretty well, and they had a lot of fun.
Yep. Like I said, you can't knock them for making a buck. Turn a passion into a job, and you'll never work a day in your life, you know. Unfortunately,
that
weirdo.
It's a rare Bigfooter who actually makes money off of thing, though.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe
you're right.
Maybe Bob Gimlin makes money. Maybe Tom Viscardi makes money. I don't know. But most of them will end up impoverished and, you know, setting up GoFundMes for their research project. I mean, we have a GoFundMe project because who's going to, you know, pay for a scientific wildlife survey if it's not the Bigfooter community themselves? You know, so
sure.
We set ours up as a model for that. Like, publicly funded science is a good thing. And we like to think that what we're doing is scientific, even though we're not officially all of us scientists. We all do our own thing, and we try to put this out there as an example of how research can be done. It goes by grants. It doesn't go by some millionaire paying you money to go buy thermal toys and night vision optics and run around like a goofball, you know, finding nothing. You got to learn how to apply the rational methods to your endeavors. And keeping it public is a good thing, you know, rather than trying to get rich off it or trying to sell your book or your blob squatch image for thousands of dollars.
Absolutely. Hey, plug your GoFundMe page while we're thinking about it.
Oh, I don't know what it is. It's only active certain times of the year because we have an option for people to go in there and support the project by buying batteries or bear boxes or new cameras to replace the old ones or to expand the operation. So, you know, people feel invested in the project by supporting it, and then they can come out here and help us out, you know. Adopt a camera and go monitor it themselves if they want to, because it's a lot of work to go and try to replace all those batteries and data cards and have it ready to go by the time the area closes. And hopefully during the winter it'll survive the snow and rain, and we'll get some great pictures in the spring. But, I
got to think you guys would change out a lot of batteries, man. I really do, because, I mean, we use our game cameras, and you get a couple of cold nights, and it just sucks the life right out of them.
Yeah, you got to use those fancy lithium-ion batteries and hopefully get your settings and setup just right so that you're not expending the battery too quickly. You know, like a lot of people will set up their trail camera with branches in front of it, you know.
Yep.
So
taking
every time the wind blows or there's snow on the branch or whatever, it just ruins the camera because it's going to be photographing nothing but sticks and snow and rain. You get your camera set up for the animal you want too. We had our camera set up looking for Bigfoot, like eye level, you know, and we realized these martens were running around down there on the ground. So when we started training the cameras more towards the ground, you can get the big animals and the little ones that way.
Right.
You got to be smart to do these things, you know, and figure out how to triangulate your cameras so you get multiple images of the same animals. Also, if anyone tries to hoax us, we have cameras that are not as obvious as some of the other ones, so that we'll get them. We get them on our video too. You know, like
have that happened
MK
to you?
Davis and Don Monroe walking by.
Really?
No, we haven't. We haven't had anyone hoax us. We've had several people moon the camera or gesture in obscene ways, making funny faces. You know, it's always amusing, actually. But that TV show, the $10 million Bigfoot Bounty, they came down to Bluff Creek. They never did find the film site, but we caught them on our cameras going by on the trails. And they never noticed. They never noticed the cameras, and they never found the film site. But
yeah. You know, I also got to add, you know, when you're doing a production show, and you know, you've got at least 15 people out there, okay? I just don't understand how folks would think that with 15 people with lights, camera gear, microphone gear, and the guys that are checking the frequencies around their vests moving through the woods, these creatures aren't going to hear, see, or smell somebody. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, when Finding Bigfoot were here in my store, they literally filled the whole main room here with their junk, you know, all their gear and cameras and lights and multiple crew members. But I mean, I have to hand it to them. They did do, with time, they developed it a bit better. So you could have solo trips, you know. They weren't really solo trips, but, you know, Cliff or Bobo or Matt or Renee would go out with probably, you know, just one other person who would be their camera person. Yeah, but you know, the problem with that is you don't get the high quality sound and images that they want for TV to really pop. You know, you're going to get the amateurish YouTube level of video and sound.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow. So let me ask you this. So you being out there in Willow Creek and, you know, being immersed in the area, you know, have you guys found any proof, or is there found any prints, or what are your views on that? You know, with the Patterson Gimlin, was this just a one-off, and, you know, what happened?
No, it was not a one-off. I mean, we have obvious cases of hoaxing that happened up here. In Bluff Creek, 1958, there was the Ray Wallace tracks, and those reappeared a few times during the 60s too, including 1967. But there were the other cases, like the Jerry Crew tracks that came before those were different,
right. And
they don't match any of the Ray Wallace tracks. Neither do the Patterson tracks that came from the film site. And, the other ones that Patterson found over by Onion Mountain area, that was a different kind of tracks. So, I mean, you could say maybe it's just a different kind of hoaxer, but talk to some of the other people who've been around who've actually, they say that they've seen them. And the native people, we have, you know, the Hoopas, the Yuroks, the Karuks, and the various other tribes outside of this one area. We have many tribes. They all have a Bigfoot type creature that they'll tell you about, and going back potentially, you know, thousands of years. And they, not all of them think of it just as a myth or a spirit. I mean, some of them really do believe that it's a living creature of the earth as well.
Sure. No, I agree with you. You know, everywhere we've been, I mean, we've heard from all the different Native Americans. I mean, I don't know what I believe about the shape-shifting because, you know, when they tell me that it starts off as a 9-foot Bigfoot and turns into a wolf and shape-shifts into a squirrel, we're back to logic now. How did a big thing like that shrink itself down to a squirrel? You know what I mean? And, you know, I mean, it's their oral history and it's their native, you know, stories, and I understand it, but, you know, it just I can't wrap my mind around that yet, you know. Just
well,
like I can't wrap my mind around.
If it's a shapeshifter, then it's not an animal. Because, I mean, we know about animal life on our planet, and there is no such thing as a shapeshifter. But what we don't know about is what the native people call the spirit world. And that's
right.
A whole other place, a whole other level or dimension of reality where we really don't live. We're here on
sure.
the earth plane, you know, whatever you call it. And, you know, the fellow here out at Hoopa told me that the world of the spirit can intermesh with our world. So there are these crossover points where humans can access the spirit world, have sort of a mystical or magical or spiritual experience, you know, and likewise, the beings of that level of reality can come through and access parts of our world. But that's not a biological organism. I mean, what do they eat? You know,
I agree.
Are there restaurants up there in the fifth dimension? I don't think so.
Hey,
yeah.
If you watch Rick and Morty, there are.
Well, yeah, but anyway.
Yeah.
So
oh, my goodness.
If you look at it that way, it's okay for the spirit beings to exist and for people to believe in them, but I don't think you're going to prove that it's a biological organism. And, you know, trying to get DNA of a skinwalker, I mean, that's just idiotic.
Sure.
You know, why would a spirit have DNA? That's for physical organisms, you know.
Sure.
Very,
sense.
Very unlikely. If someone sees a squirrel and they see a coyote and they see a bear and they see a raven, probably they're not seeing a shapeshifter. You know, probably they're just seeing four different animals that are
animals.
Doing their normal things.
Yeah.
But, you know, what changes that is the human state of mind, right? If you're in a magical state of mind, you're going to start seeing reality as that way. So if you're, like,
you're
on a vision quest,
magical things.
If you're fasting and you're seeking spiritually, you're gonna probably have a vision of something, you know. I mean, and likewise, if you're a kid at Boy Scout camp, they might run a snipe hunt, and you get so worked up by those campfire stories that you're gonna believe that the snipe creature is out there and you have to go find it. I see that kind of thing on the other hand, you know, and a lot of it is just people getting all worked up with the expectancy, you know, and that's where you get Finding Bigfoot and all the other Bigfoot researchers. They're basically just forest-bound ghost hunters, you know, looking for
your
some
forest
magical,
friend,
weird thing. I mean, if you want to find an animal, why don't you just go track it in the daytime when you can see its signs and follow it to its home, you know, set up some trail cameras and observation points and prove that it's real. You know, it's not like going to disappear in the middle of a trackway and go into the fifth dimension. If that happens, I would say look to the person rather than the so-called cryptid, you know.
Sure. Oh, God, it makes so much sense. Wow.
Well,
I love it.
Yeah.
If you want to believe in God or whatever, that's cool. Because we can't prove the supernatural, this proposed level of reality that supposedly exists. We can't prove it. And you can't get it on a thermal imager. You know, I mean, you can't get a game camera picture of the Holy Spirit or whatever it is, you know.
It's heat.
You're going to have to research it in different ways, like, you know, go to the ashram and meditate for a few years and see what happens, you know.
I love that point of view. I mean, it's 100% true, you know. I mean, can't wish it to be there, you know. It's either there or it's not. I agree. Wow,
well,
folks.
That's why the Patterson film is so powerful. When you look at it, there's a very physical image, you know. Not just a creature, but you see a whole sandbar covered in broken down logs and, you know, beautiful fall colors in the background. Here's this obvious three-dimensional living something or other walking through the middle of it. And you can imagine it being there with the ground shaking beneath its feet and maybe smelling badly. Or, you know, you can imagine these things. I hate to think that it's a hoax because, I mean, if it is, then that nice old man Bob has been lying to us all this time.
Or he didn't know there was a guy in a suit.
Yeah, Roger Patterson would have had to be pretty tricky, though. And
well,
Bob Hieronymus, he doesn't look like much of a hiker, that guy. So I'm not quite sure how Bob H would have gotten in there all that way on rugged alternate routes and put on his costume. You know, for Bob to miss that, I think it would be pretty hard for Bob Gimlin to miss that.
He's the last person on the planet. Well, no, Patty's still alive, but she wasn't there. But, you know, he's the last person on the planet that would actually know. You're right. You know, and guess what?
Al Beatley probably knew.
Yeah, but he's gone. You know, everybody knows he passed. Was it last week or so, or in October sometime?
Yeah, he passed away the day after the 52nd anniversary of the Patterson film.
Wow!
Right in that same month, a very bizarre coincidence.
Yeah, that is very bizarre.
And yeah, to his dying day, he didn't really come fully out and give a full, unencumbered interview about what he knew about the film that his brother-in-law produced, that people say Aldi Hadley paid for, you know, not to mention profited from for a good number of years when it was shown about the country, you know, with the traveling cowboy show.
Trash bag full of money being put into their van, you know. I remember hearing those stories.
Apparently they had it in the hotel room. They were throwing it up in the air and rolling around on the bed on top of the money. But that didn't happen every night. Eventually, it kind of broke down.
Sure.
I wish that could happen at my house.
We got 2 minutes, folks, so we're going to start wrapping this up before they cut me off here. I'm going to give you the last word, Stephen. You got about a minute and 20 seconds. I'd love for you to go ahead and pump your bookstore, pump your project, and talk about the coalition. Let everybody know where to go get it.
All righty. Well, it's the Facebook group is the Coalition for Critical Thinking and Bigfoot Research. And you can find that on Facebook by using those words or facebook.com Smart Bigfoot. Yeah. But it's pretty easy to find. And Bluff Creek Project's pretty easy to find as well. Just use those words and skip all the motocross track parts and maybe put Bigfoot in with it. Bluff Creek Project.blogspot.com is the blog. And it has a lot of information on there you might enjoy with a directions to the film site, links to our videos of the martens and bears and mountain lions and everything else. And what else? My own thing is the bookstore here, Bigfoot Books in Willow Creek.
You can
find me easily just by typing those words in. I think I own them now. If you type in Willow Creek Bigfoot Books, you get me. But you know, I'll do mail orders for all your people across the world if you want. I do specialize in Bigfoot topic-wise, but that's only about 3 shelves, and I have a whole building full of books here. So any topic of books is fine with me, and I'm glad to see them go because there's less and less customers for them as years go by.
I got you.
I don't know what else to tell you about that. That's about it.
Okay, folks, get over to Bigfoot Books, because I'm going to tell you personally from my own experience, I've got 10 books from Stephen out there, and we're still trying to find the one that my dad first got into. But you can get anything you want, anything about Bigfoot Books. Don't forget to check us out on searchingforbigfoot.com. And next week, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific Standard, or 7 p.m. Pacific Standard, I want to thank our guests, Stephen Struffert and Chuck Creel. And Stephen, if you'd love to come back at any time in the future, just let me know. Folks, this has been the Bigfoot Live Radio Show with Rocky and TJ. And we love you. Keep Bigfooting, and Miss Calabas will help you find Bigfoot. Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you, Steve.
Watch on.
Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, that was great.
Good night, Marshall.
Well,
folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live Radio Show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. What you brought them together? Mm-hmm.